All right, everybody, welcome to another deep dive here on Think and Act Locally.
Yeah, so glad to be here.
I am excited about this one.
Me too.
You know, as always, we're diving into some fascinating source material.
Yeah.
To help us all, you know, think and act locally. And
yeah.
And this time we're going hyper local. I mean, like right here in our backyard.
No, literally.
Literally. Yeah. In Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, you know, we're talking about soil health. We're talking about land management.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, sometimes when we hear those terms, we think like, oh, you know, big agriculture or, you know, huge ranches.
Right.
This stuff applies no matter how much land you have, even if it's just a little balcony garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're all connected to the same ecosystem, right?
Yeah, so true.
So whether you've got acres or, you know, a couple of pots, it all matters.
It all matters. So we've got some great sources lined up today. One of them introduces this idea of the three rules of adaptive stewardship.
Okay.
And, you know, when I first saw that, I was like, adaptive stewardship sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit academic.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But actually, when you break it down, it's really pretty straightforward.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, sometimes those terms, they can be a little bit intimidating, but really the concepts are simple and powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's break them down.
Okay.
The first one is compounding.
Compounding.
And this one, I think, is really key because it highlights how, like, our small actions can have, like, a ripple effect.
Yeah, it's like that butterfly effect, you know.
Totally.
One small change can lead to bigger changes down the line. And so, like, even something as simple as, you know, what kind of fertilizer you're using in your garden that can actually impact, you know, the water quality in a nearby creek or even, you know, the bay eventually.
Yeah.
You know, and it might not seem like it, but, you know, those things, they all add up.
Right. So give me a local example. Like, how could my fertilizer choice in Deer Park, you know, affect somebody in La Porte or Pasadena?
Right. So let's say you're using a fertilizer that's high in nitrogen and phosphorus.
Okay. Which are, you know, common ingredients in fertilizers.
Yeah.
But when it rains, that excess fertilizer can run off your lawn and into the storm drains.
Oh, okay.
And those storm drains, they often lead to our waterways, you know, our creeks and bayous and eventually into Galveston Bay. And those excess nutrients, they can cause algae blooms.
Oh, yeah.
Which can be harmful to fish and other aquatic life.
Wow. Okay. So it really is all connected.
It really is.
I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing to think about.
It is. Yeah.
And,
you know, it's not just homeowners. It's, you know, farmers, ranchers.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who's managing land.
Right.
Their decisions can have these ripple effects. So thinking about, you know, how our actions impact the larger ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's what compounding is all about.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got to be mindful of those little things because they add up.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's compounding. What's the next rule?
All right. So the next rule is diversity.
Diversity.
And this one is all about embracing variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nature loves diversity.
Right. Think about a forest, you know, a healthy forest.
Right.
It's got all sorts of different trees and plants and animals and insects and microorganisms all living together and interacting.
Right.
And that diversity, it makes the forest more resilient, you know, if there's a drought or a pest outbreak or some other disturbance.
It's not going to wipe out everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there's so much variety, there's a better chance that some species will survive and the ecosystem will be able to bounce back.
Right. So it's like not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so we can apply that same principle to our own yards and gardens, you know, instead of just having a lawn.
Right. The typical, you know, manicure lawn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can plant a variety of different plants, you know, native plants, pollinator-friendly plants, you know, things that will attract beneficial insects and birds.
Right. Create like a little ecosystem in your own yard.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if you don't have a yard, you know, if you've got a balcony or a patio, you can still have a diverse little ecosystem, you know, with pots and planters.
Yeah. Okay. So diversity is key.
Diversity is key.
Got it. All right. So we've got compounding. We've got diversity. What's the third rule?
Okay, so the third rule is disruption.
Disruption. Okay, now that sounds a little bit scary.
I know, right? It sounds like something we want to avoid.
Yeah, like chaos.
Yeah, but actually, disruption is a natural part of ecosystems, and it can be a really good thing.
Okay.
So think about a forest fire.
Okay.
Now, obviously, a huge wildfire that's out of control, that's not a good thing.
No.
But a small prescribed burn,
you're right,
that can actually be really beneficial for the forest.
Okay.
Because it clears out the underbrush. It allows sunlight to reach the forest floor. It creates habitat for certain species. And some plants, they actually need fire to germinate their seeds.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like a reset button for the ecosystem.
Okay. So it's like a controlled disruption.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we can apply that principle to our own land management practices as well.
Okay. So how would we do that? Like in a garden setting?
Well, one way is to rotate your crops. you know, instead of planting the same thing in the same spot year after year,
right,
you can mix it up.
Right.
And that helps to prevent pests and diseases from building up in the soil.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And another way to introduce disruption is to use cover crops.
Cover crops. Okay.
Yeah. So these are plants that you grow not to harvest, but to improve the soil health.
Oh.
So they can help to fix nitrogen. They mm-hmm. can add organic matter. They can suppress weeds. And then you can just till them back into the soil.
Oh, okay. So it's like giving your soil a little break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a way to introduce that kind of beneficial disruption.
Yeah. Okay. So disruption is not always a bad thing.
Not always.
All right. So we've got our three rules of adaptive stewardship, compounding diversity and disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now our next source kind of builds on these ideas and it dives into what are called ecosystem processes.
Okay.
And, you know, we're going to focus on a few key ones that are super relevant here in Southeast Texas.
Yeah.
And the first one is the water cycle.
All right. The water cycle.
And, you know, I think we all kind of learned about this in school.
Yeah.
You know, evaporation, condensation, precipitation.
Yeah.
But it's like when you really start to think about it and how it applies to our everyday lives, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
And especially here in Southeast Texas where we get a lot of rain.
Yes, we do.
I mean, we are intimately familiar with the water cycle.
Very much so.
So how does this water cycle, you know, apply to like our yards, our gardens, you know, our local environment?
So every time it rains, that water's falling on our land.
Right.
And what happens to that water, it's got a few different options.
Okay.
It can soak into the ground, which is called infiltration.
Okay.
And that's really important because it replenishes the groundwater, which is where we get a lot of our drinking water from.
Right.
And it also helps to keep the soil moist, which is good for plants.
Okay.
But if the ground is too compacted or if it's covered in pavement,
right,
that water can't infiltrate, so it runs off. And that runoff can carry pollutants,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like fertilizers, pesticides, oil grease, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Right into the storm drain and then into our waterways?
Exactly. Uh-huh. So that's why it's so important to have permeable surfaces, you know, in our yards and gardens.
Permeable surfaces?
Yeah. So things like grass and mulch and gravel.
Okay.
You know, things that allow the water to soak in.
So not so much concrete.
Right. Not so much concrete. Not so much asphalt.
Okay.
Because those are impermeable surfaces.
Right.
The water just runs right off of them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking about my own yard now and like all the concrete patios and walkways.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I need to rethink some of that.
Yeah. It's definitely something to consider.
All right. So infiltration runoff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What other parts of the water cycle are important?
Well, another important part is evaporation.
Okay.
So as the sun heats up the water on the surface, it evaporates back into the atmosphere.
Right.
And then it can condense and form clouds and eventually fall as rain again. And so plants, they play a really important role in this cycle because they can absorb water through their roots.
Right.
And then they release it back into the atmosphere through their leaves in a process called transpiration.
Transpiration. Right.
Yes. It's like plants are sweating.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that transpiration, it helps to cool the air and it also helps to create more clouds.
Wow. Okay. So plants are like little water pumps.
They are. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the more plants we have, the better the water cycle is going
to
work.
Right. Okay. So we need to plant more stuff.
Yes. Plant more stuff.
Got it. All right. So that's the water cycle.
Yep.
Now, this next ecosystem process is closely related to the water cycle.
Okay.
And it's called the mineral cycle.
A mineral cycle.
And this one, I think, is really interesting because it highlights how, like, nutrients move through the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's all about how those essential nutrients, you know, things like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium,
right,
they're constantly cycling between the soil, the plants, the animals, and the atmosphere.
Okay, so give me an example of how that works.
All right, so let's say you've got a tree.
Okay.
That tree, it's going to absorb minerals from the soil through its roots.
Right.
And it's going to use those minerals to grow its leaves and its branches and its fruit.
Okay.
And then when those leaves and branches and fruit fall to the ground,
right,
they decompose.
Okay.
And those minerals, they're released back into the soil.
Okay. So it's like a closed loop.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful cycle. And animals, they play a role in this too.
Okay. How so?
Well, when animals graze on plants, they're taking in those minerals.
Okay.
And then they're returning those minerals to the soil through their manure.
Oh. Okay. So poop is important.
Poop is very important.
Got it.
Yeah. And so, you know, having a healthy mineral cycle, it's essential for healthy soil.
Right.
And healthy soil is essential for healthy plants and healthy animals and healthy people.
So it all comes back to the soil.
It always comes back to the soil.
Okay, so we've talked about the water cycle. We've talked about the mineral cycle. Now, our final source today really dives deep into this idea of soil health.
Okay.
And it lays out what are called the six principles of soil health.
The six principles of soil health.
Now, these are like the guidelines for, you know, how to take care of our soil, how to make sure it's healthy and productive.
Yeah, they're like the best practices for soil management.
Right. And I think, you know, we tend to take soil for granted.
We do.
We just think it's like this inert stuff that's, you know, under our feet.
Right.
But it's actually this incredibly complex living ecosystem.
It is. It's teeming with life.
Yeah.
You know, there are more microorganisms in a teaspoon of healthy soil than there are people on Earth.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is. It's amazing. And all those microorganisms, they're working together to break down organic matter.
Right.
And release nutrients and create a healthy environment for plants.
We need to take care of those little guys.
You do.
Okay, so let's dive into these six principles. What's the first one?
All right, so the first principle is do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Okay. Yeah, and this one's all about minimizing tillage.
Tillage. Okay.
So tillage is, you know, when you plow or till the soil.
Right.
And it can be necessary sometimes, you know, to prepare a seed bed or to control weeds.
Okay.
But if you do it too much, it can actually damage the soil structure.
Oh, how so?
Well, it can break up those aggregates, those little clumps of soil that are so important for water infiltration and air circulation.
Right.
And it can also expose the soil to erosion.
Okay.
And it can disrupt the habitat of all those beneficial microorganisms.
It's kind of like shaking up a snow globe.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like disrupting the whole ecosystem.
All right. So do not disturb. Minimize tillage.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the next principle?
All right, so the next principle is cover and build surface armor.
Cover and build surface armor. Okay, that sounds like we're going to war.
I know, right? It's kind of a dramatic name.
Yeah.
But basically, it just means keeping the soil covered.
Okay.
So that can be with living plants.
Okay.
Like cover crops or mulch. Yeah.
Right.
Or even just leaving crop residues on the surface after harvest.
Okay.
And that cover, it protects the soil from erosion.
Okay.
It helps to moderate the soil temperature.
Okay.
And it provides habitat for beneficial insects.
So it's like a little blanket for the soil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like tucking the soil in for the night.
I love that.
All right. So the third principle is keep living roots in the soil.
Keep living roots in the soil.
Yeah. And this one's all about having plants growing in the soil as much as possible.
Okay.
So that can be with cover crops.
Right.
Or with perennial crops or with a diverse rotation of annual crops.
Okay.
And those living roots, they're constantly feeding the soil microbes.
Okay.
They're releasing sugars and other compounds that the microbes can use for energy.
Okay.
And so that helps to build soil organic matter.
Right.
Which is essential for soil health.
Okay. So we need to keep those roots growing year-round, if possible.
As much as possible, yes.
Okay. All right. So we've got do not disturb, cover and build surface armor, keep living roots in the soil. What's the next one?
All right. So the next principle is grow healthy animals and soil together.
Grow healthy animals and soil together. Okay. So we're bringing animals into the equation now.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And this is a really important one because animals, they can play a really beneficial role in soil health.
Oh, yeah.
So think about grazing animals.
Like cows.
Like cows, right. Yeah, or sheep or goats.
Okay.
When they're managed properly, they can actually help to improve soil health.
Okay. How so?
Well, their hooves, they can help to aerate the soil.
Okay.
Their manure, it fertilizes the soil.
Right.
And their grazing it can stimulate plant growth.
Okay.
So it's all about having the right number of animals in the right place at the right time.
Right. So it's not just about letting them roam free and eat everything in sight.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about managing them carefully.
Okay.
So that they're benefiting the soil rather than harming it.
Right. Okay. So animals can be good for the soil?
They can be very good for the soil.
Got it.
All right.
What's the next principle?
All right. So the fifth principle is know your context.
Know your context. Okay.
Yeah. And this one's all about recognizing that there's no one size fits all approach to soil health.
Okay.
Soil type, its own climate, its own history.
Okay.
And so the best management practices are going to vary depending on the context.
So we need to like do our research and figure out what works best for our specific situation.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to observe your land. You got to learn about its characteristics and then you can adapt your practices accordingly.
Right. Okay. Know your context.
Yeah.
Got it. What's the last principle?
All right. So the last principle is mix it up.
Mix it up. Okay.
Yeah. And this one kind of ties everything together.
Okay.
It's all about embracing diversity in all aspects of your land management.
Okay.
So that means having a diversity of plants,
right.
a diversity of animals, a diversity of management practices.
Okay.
And that diversity, it creates a more resilient and productive ecosystem.
Okay. So basically everything we've been talking about today, it's all about connections.
Yeah.
Which is about understanding how everything is interconnected.
Yeah.
You know, from the tiniest microorganisms in the soil to the water cycle to the plants and animals that we share this planet with.
It's all a web.
It is a web.
Yeah.
And we're all part of it.
We are.
So I think the key takeaway here is that even small actions can make a difference.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's choosing a different fertilizer or planting a few more trees or supporting a local farm that's using regenerative practices, it all adds up.
It does.
So I encourage all of our listeners to think about these principles. Think about how they apply to your own lives and to your own communities.
Yeah.
And start taking action.
And, you know, don't be afraid to experiment.
Right.
You know, try new things. See what works in your context.
And remember, you know, you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
There are lots of resources available to help you learn more and connect with other people who are passionate about soil health and land management. And, you know, one of those resources is right here at Think and Act Locally.
Yeah.
So be sure to check out our website for more information and for links to all of the sources that we talked about today.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I would encourage everyone to do is just go outside and take a look around.
Yeah.
Observe your environment. See those connections. You know, see how the water cycle is working. See how the plants and animals are interacting. And just appreciate the beauty and the complexity of the natural world.
That's a great way to end this deep dive.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
And don't forget, if you found value in this deep dive, we encourage you to support us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
You bet.
Link is in the show notes. Thanks again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.